in case of any wrongdoing or maybe mistakes by either the ship captain or the crew, then a penalty is levied. If goods are loaded in a conveyance for importation or transshipment into India, then under the provisions of Customs Act or being coastal goods, they are not allowed at that destination in India. That means goods which have been loaded on board that particular vessel declared in the IGM, but not unloaded at that particular port, then, or if the quantity is different, that is short quantity, then such deficiency is not proper and the captain or person in charge of the conveyance will be liable on importation of the goods to a penalty not exceeding twice the amount of duty that would have been chargeable on those goods which have not been unloaded, and coastal goods to a penalty not exceeding twice the amount of export duty that would have been chargeable on the goods. Of course, for all the work which is required to be done by the captain or person in charge of the vessel, they appoint a shipping agent at each and every port. They are fully liable for fulfillment of all obligations imposed on them under the Customs Act. The shipping agents are also liable to penalties, confiscations, etc., etc., as if it is being done by him on behalf of the captain. It becomes his regulatory function. This shipping agent term can also mean that there is a relationship between the master of the vessel and his agent, and the agent is duly authorized by the captain to work under the captain's control and on his behalf. He cannot work independently. He has got to be guided by the instructions given by the captain of the vessel. Responsibility and competency, as well as remuneration of the agent, they may be expressly entered into a contract which has been concluded between the parties concerned. This is a very standard practice, common practice throughout the world. Any ship goes to any port, captain has got to appoint a shipping agent. And normally, they appoint one agent continuously for year on together. They don't change the agent again and again. A particular shipping company liner may have 10 ships under him. So he will appoint the same agent as shipping agent for all their ships. It's a standard practice. Such shipping agents are also referred to as port agents or cargo brokers. And they are responsible for handling of all cargo at the port and harbors on behalf of the shipping companies. These agents will quietly and efficiently take care of all the regular routine tasks of the shipping company as far as that port is concerned. They will ensure that essential supplies which are required on board the vessel, it will be arranged by the agent. If there is any transfer of the crew from the ship to the airport or vice versa in any way, it has got to be arranged by the agent. Customs documentation, waste declaration, and all other arrangements as far as port authorities are concerned, they have got to be performed by such an agent without any delay. They also provide the shipping company with updates on reports on activities at the destination port, so that the shipping companies have up-to-the-minute information available to them at all times while the goods are in transit. Maybe if there's some disturbance at a particular port, the agent will immediately inform the captain of the ship that there's some disturbance going on over here. And therefore, that ship captain may change the route of the ship to go to some other port first. So, such kind of day-to-day timely information is passed on by such an agent to the shipping company, owners of the vessel, as also to the captain of the vessel. As far as all movement of cargo by sea, there is a Carriage of Goods by Sea Act. It is a statute governing the rights and responsibilities between shippers of the cargo and ship owners or carriers regarding an ocean shipment. This is a contract to carry goods by sea. It is also called a contract of affreightment. That is, consideration or charges paid for this carriage is called a freight. The contract of affreightment can take either of two forms. There are two types. One is a charter party and the next on a bill of lading. A charter party is an agreement where the entire ship or the major part of the ship is placed at the disposal of the merchant who wants to load full shipload of material in bulk so that the full ship is loaded by one single merchant. So he will enter into a charter party, and such charter party agreements will definitely give a benefit of freight to the merchant or the exporter. The second part is a bill of lading, where individual consignments, export consignments, when they are loaded to be carried in a general ship, and the person consigning the goods is known as the shipper, the ship owner undertakes the responsibility of carrying the goods of a consigner safely and securely to the destination. And the terms of the bill of lading, which is issued by the agent to the exporter after goods have been loaded on board the ship, it includes all the terms and conditions of the carriage, contract of carriage. Basically, there are two types of contract which are there in any such contract. The first is an expressed terms, and the second is the implied terms. The expressed terms are those terms which are built onto the bill of lading, which is affecting the export cargo, and both parties for the contract have agreed and are duly embodied in that particular bill of lading, that is a contract. Apart from this, there are certain implied terms which are not basically mentioned in that contract document, that is the bill of lading. But they imply to every contract of carriage by sea. That is number one, implied warranty of seaworthiness. That means when the ship or the captain is accepting certain cargo for being loaded for a journey, at that point of time, the ship is seaworthy for sailing with the loaded cargo. And second, implied warranty of commencement of voyage. That means after the goods have been loaded on the ship, ready to commence the voyage, then they have to carry the cargo and sail out, start the voyage within a reasonable time and dispatch the cargo with due diligence. Next is non-deviation of the voyage. Normally, liner ships will declare their points of movement from a particular port A to port B. So, liner route is already declared. Now, here they should not deviate the voyage as long as they are carrying the cargo which they have taken through that bill of lading. There is a contract that the ship cannot be diverted anywhere else. Of course, there are certain conditions which the captain has got certain powers. Now, apart from this, it is the duty of the shipper not to ship dangerous goods as a part of his cargo. And if the shipper ships dangerous goods and there is any accident on account, or if the charter suffers any damage, he can recover the full amount from the shipper. Of course, that doesn't mean that dangerous goods cannot be loaded on a ship. It can be loaded subject to certain conditions under the dangerous goods IMO rules. What is a bill of lading? A bill of lading is a quasi-negotiable instrument of title acknowledging the shipment of goods, signed on behalf of the carrier and containing the terms and conditions of carriage. Mind you, the exporter, if he has got an export contract or a letter of credit, he has to deliver certain documents to the bank, and then bank makes payment to him. Bill of lading signed by the agent of a particular ship, shipping agent, duly signed and stamped, that is a valid document for the bank to release payment to the exporter. This is used for carriage of goods on a general ship, that is a ship which is used for carriage of goods of several exporters who wish to have them transported over a long distances. It is also an undertaking to deliver the goods to the shipper by name or to whom it has been assigned. That means he can. It's a negotiable document. So he can assign or transfer by mentioning so on the bill of lading. To order of certain assignees, or not naming any person, and sometimes to a consignee by name. Bill of lading can also be issued where the ship is fully chartered. In this kind of a charter party, the document evidencing the contract of affreightment will, while the bill of lading would only operate as a mere acknowledgement of the receipt of the goods. Terms and conditions not binding as far as bill of lading are concerned, terms and conditions of the charter party agreement would be the binding factor. As far as processing the bill of lading is concerned, the exporter will first approach the shipping agent, either directly or through agent, and reserving space for his export consignment in a particular ship. He will deliver the goods to the shipping agent and obtain a receipt indicating the type, quantity and condition of the goods received. And here, such goods which he delivers to the shipping agent has got to be passed by the customs officer with a let export order. It's only when the let export order is granted by the customs officer, the shipping agent will accept the cargo for loading. Then he will obtain a copy of the carrier's bill of lading form and then enter details of the type, quantity of goods shipped, relevant marks and numbers, port of destination, name of consignee, and any other particulars which he wants, has to mention as per the contract, export contract and the LC. Once the signed copy is received by the agent, he will check the cargo details against the tallies which he gets from the dock that yes, such and such cargo has been loaded, and then he will acknowledge it. Freight will be calculated and paid, and then bill of lading will be issued to the exporter. Exporter will then dispatch this bill of lading to the consignee as per the terms of the contract or documentary credit through his bank. This is a standard procedure for processing the bluff lady. Now, always an export contract or a letter of credit will mention a standard terminology that there should be a clean bill of lading. Now, what is the meaning of a clean bill of lading? This bill of lading is evidence that the shipment of the goods in sound and clean condition has been loaded on board the ship. That means there is no damages to the container or the packages. And then it is a proof that yes, goods are loaded in this sound and clean position on board the ship. And in such cases, the clean bill of lading will be issued. The commercial value of this document is the consignee will always rely on the bill of lading to establish whether goods as agreed in the contract of sale have been shipped, number one, and then clean shipped. There are no clauses that the package was damaged or quantity, number of packages were missing or some such clause has not been added on the bill of lading. If any such clauses are added on the bill of lading, it is not termed to be a clean bill of lading, and then the bank may refuse payment to the exporter. If the shipper or consignee wants to sell the cargo during transit, it cannot be sold on the basis of this closed bill of lading or non-clean bill of lading. Such bills of lading are also used to raise money from the bank post-shipment finance, which is granted by the bank, will always be on the basis of a clean bill of lading, not a closed bill of lading. As far as contract of carriage is concerned, bill of lading is evidence of contract of carriage. How? In the hands of the shipper, bill of lading serves as evidence of contract of carriage. So it contains terms of carriage which have been concluded orally before the issue of the bill of lading. That means it is binding on the shipper. It remains the same even after the shipper has endorsed the bill of lading to a third party, and any oral or written agreement between the shipper and shipping owner not expressly mentioned on the bill of lading will have no effect on the third party or the consignee. Why? Because the bill of lading is a document of title. Until goods are delivered, possession of bill of lading is deemed to be a constructive possession of goods. And transfer of bill of lading is deemed to be possession of the goods. Transfer of bill of lading by the seller to the buyer is deemed to be a symbolic delivery of the actual goods being delivered from the seller to the buyer. On the ship's arrival, buyer could demand delivery of the goods. He has to get delivery of the goods, otherwise he can claim from the shipping company. As far as delivery of other documents are concerned, bill of lading or other bills is transferable document. Upon endorsement on these documents, the endorsee takes the place of the original party to the bill of lading, and he can sue or be sued, that is, file a case, or case can be filed on him on account of any terms expressed or implied in the bill of lading. Carrier is under an obligation to deliver the cargo only against the original bill of lading. If not, he'll be liable in contract as well as in tort, that is, legal matter of bill of lading holder. Of course, if due to any reason original bill of lading has been lost. In the absence of such bill of lading, if a person wants to take delivery of the goods, then he has got to prove that he is entitled to the possession of the goods. Once he proves that he is entitled, then shipping company can give him the goods after taking due note in the form of a bond, etc. In all the bills of lading, there are notify party clauses which are used in such cases, and they are to notify custom broker or banker on the arrival of the goods. It is the duty of the shipping company or their agent to inform or notify the banker or the custom broker. Well, friends, as I told you, that the bill of lading is having certain standard clauses, and it's a contract of affreightment, contract of carriage. Now, this is not a contract available only in India. It is an international contract. And these contracts, wordings, are on the basis of certain United Nations conventions for carriage of goods. That is, United Nations Convention on Contracts for the International Carriage of Goods. In the past, globally, all the countries used to follow different categories. It started with the first one, that is the Hague Rules. Subsequently, there were a lot of amendments which came up, and Hague Visby Rules were followed. Then came the Hamburg Rules with modifications of the original rules. And finally, as of today, there are Rotterdam Rules. Now, the first three rules or amendments were applicable to break bulk ships. There were containerization was not mentioned. And therefore, Rotterdam rules have been amended, and finally, which has been brought out, looking to the containerization aspect. United Nations Commission on International Trade Law, they assembled, adopted by the United Nations, the Rotterdam Rules. It has already come in force. And here the primary condition was that those countries who would like to adopt the Rotterdam Rules will have to denounce the other three rules. That means you can't be working with both the rules. And mind you, today all goods are being moved by containers, and therefore all shipping companies have virtually denounced the other rules, and they are working on the Rotterdam rules. They have already accepted and agreed. Thank you.